Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Rodeo Goat in Edo.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Will Kunkel.
Welcome inside Rodeo Goat. You're kicking it with Kunkel as the 2026 World Cup is officially underway, and the Mexicans have made themselves heard. They are out here in force at the Rodeo Goat. Awesome crowd, great festivities. The national anthem played, and it was really, really cool. Will Kunkel here alongside Brian and Sean Mace back in studio producing. Question for you, B.
Yeah.
If you live in America, but you're Mexican, how much can you root for Mexico versus the United States? Like, what's the line of
where you're
rooting?
To root for them, like I guess it would depend on how far back it went. Like if my parents were first generation, I would have no problem rooting for Mexico.
Would you root for them over United States? Like if you were born here?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't want to tell people how to fan. I wouldn't have a problem.
No, tell them. Tell them.
I would not have a problem with someone rooting for Mexico over the United States.
I don't know that I have a problem with it. I need to hear the explanation. Like, how are you gonna root for the country you want? No. But like, I'm saying versus like anti, because then you're not anti-American essentially.
Well, I don't think rooting for Mexico would make you anti-American.
I'm saying if you're playing each other, because like it's easy to root for Mexico versus South Africa. Like,
right.
Like cool.
Yeah.
But if you're live here, born here. If it's Mexico versus United States, you got to kind of pick, right?
Yeah. So you're saying
that's kind of it's a tough pickle for them, not me.
Like a Longhorns Aggies thing? You can't possibly root for both.
Well, definitely, and like you can't be a fan of both. You can like for me, I root for both because I don't care. So like I just want to see all like Texas teams kind of be fun and relevant because it's just good for fodder and it's fun at the bars.
I just hope everyone has fun.
Yeah, like I just don't care. Like if you're a Yankees fan, you can't be a Red Sox fan.
Right. No, 100%.
Like, it's one
I guess
or the
I
other.
Just don't equate United States Mexico to that as much.
Well, it's country, so it's kind of one or the other. Like you can only have one country. You can only identify.
Yeah.
You can only pick one, right?
I guess I fundamentally disagree with that.
So here's the thing. So my father-in-law, he's Italian. My wife obviously Italian then, but she's also a little bit more removed. So she always roots for USA, but number two is Italy.
Yeah.
But if it's USA versus Italy, it's USA is going to win that like debate.
I guess it would depend on how far you are removed from like living in that country.
What
like,
if
you're one generation removed? I don't see a problem. Now if it's like five generations removed,
you
got to root for the US. Yeah.
I don't know. Just kind of curious. Let me know what you guys think. 713-780-3776.
I'm 200 years removed from Scotland. I'm not rooting for Scotland over the United States.
What is the arbitrary cutoff?
Like, I think it's two generations.
Two?
Okay. Like, if your grandparents were born in whatever country that is, I think you're free to do that. But if it's relatives you never met because they're all dead when you were born, then you got to root for the United States.
I agree with that. That's for sure. Was that a free kick? I just looked up.
I looked up as well. I'm not sure.
All right, we're live here at the Rodeo. I'm looking to try to put in a little bit of a...
Are you going to put in a wager?
Yeah, I'm trying to...
What's the line? Mexico's got to be a heavy favorite.
Ow, my back. Yeah, it's...
You going to piss off everyone in here and place a bet on
South Africa? No, so you know what? So this is how I roll in these situations, is I want to be part of, like, the atmosphere.
Okay, so you're going to put a bet in on Mexico.
I would ride Mexico big time, but it's minus 243 for them to win.
They're playing in Mexico City, yeah.
You know what I would like is... Oh, no. Okay, well, something happened but didn't happen, it sounded like. What I could do is, like, a minus... But I do want it over. How about...
That was a good chance.
You think they're going to score two goals?
I would say yeah.
I think so, too.
Is that their over-under? 1.5?
Yeah, they're
Where's the over? Yeah, yeah. So that's minus 118 at over 1.5.
Yeah, right. I, there you go.
All right, so that's what I'm going
for. There you
go.
Viva la Mexico.
See if we, yeah, big. I'm basically Mexican now. I mean, CCC.
I think Lexi's going to give you a look if you say, try to say that
I'm
again.
Mexican. I just bet on Mexican, Mexico to
he
score
said,
two
said
goals.
He said he's basically
yeah.
Mexican.
So
now.
I'm basically Mexican, yes.
El Grande Americano is Will Conklin.
I've learned for those watching on Instagram, I'm live on Instagram or live on YouTube, this feels like a dirty because it feels like the next move.
I know.
The next part. This is not good.
I feel as a white man. I got to be very careful.
You got to keep
the hand
tight. You can't go from here to reaching for something.
No, you got to be
certainly
very
not
careful.
Off the high shelf. Yeah. Certainly can't go from here to getting something off the top shelf.
Elon did not know that.
Nor did man. There's we can get.
No, right. Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's avoid that.
All right. So here's the conversation as I eat fries and burgers and all this stuff.
How is it, by the way?
At Rodeo Go. It is gone. I don't know how long that break was.
Yeah, I don't see any burger patty left.
I don't know how long the break was, but I just ate an entire burger in the break.
Which one did you get? Oh, how can I forget? It was the River Oaks
The River Oaks Country
Elitist
Club.
Elitist Will Conkle got the River Oaks one.
There's nothing – a funny thing about it is there's nothing fancy on it. It's just an American burger.
Yeah.
Like, you know, lettuce, tomato, pickles, bun and American cheese. Like, that's it. It's just a damn burger, which is the way I kind of roll. All right, so I got the over on 1.5. That's my sweat of the day, if you will.
Gimmick infringement there, but I'll let it slide.
You said what?
That's a little bit of a gimmick infringement, but I'll let it slide.
That was intentional. I thought I was filling in. I guess I'm not filling in.
Not for Jeremy
this is,
and Joe.
This is straight up kicking
on
the today.
Your own thing.
All right, we're live at Rodeo Goat and Edo, by the way. In Houston on ESPN Radio all day. Come on down. Win some tickets to the Netherlands-Sweden match on June 20th. You can win tickets to that. You can come down and have some great burgers, some great cocktails. You can see us. Get pictures with Brian. He's signing autographs as well.
All day long.
Hell yeah. Come on through. I'm live on Instagram or live on YouTube as well. Just type in ESPN Radio 97.5 on YouTube. So the conversation has kind of evolved a little bit. We're now to the fact of what we think this offense for the Houston Texans will be this year. And does it need to be don't screw up type good or better than that type good to win and what our expectations are? I was listening to yesterday and you had Sarge and DJ in. And Sarge thinks, all right, good Lord.
He had a lot of interesting thoughts.
To say the least. He thinks that they're a top seven offense.
I can't go that far.
Is that what he said?
I don't remember. Honestly, I'm lost in a lot of what Sarge said, so I don't remember that one. But I think DJ brought that up at one point, that he thought they'd be top seven. But I don't remember the specific words that Sarge said.
Put it this way. If you were to place a bet on them being a top seven offense, you were getting some serious friendly juice. I mean, it's like that'd be like a plus 800 type juice underdog type. Like that ain't. I'm not saying it's not happening, but the odds of it happening are absurd.
Yeah, just like I mean, for that to happen, I guess my question to like spin it forward would be like, what has to happen for that to be the case, right? I think Tank Dell being rookie year Tank Dell and staying healthy has to happen. Jaden Higgins has to take at least a decent year two step up. I also think you have to hope that Wyatt Teller, Dallas Braden, and all their offensive line moves actually worked.
And Nick Haley figures out.
If you answer all those things in the favorable, which is a big if, then yeah, maybe top seven is their ceiling. But I just have a hard time seeing all those things being answered in the positive.
And what have we seen in the last? Hey!
Goal! There we go. Viva la Mexico!
Si.
1-0. 1-0 Mexico. Ah, hey, you're almost there, Will.
I just need one more.
You're almost there.
I just need one more goal.
This place erupted.
Golly. The motherland is performing.
Yes. Motherland, listen to you. You placed one bet on Mexico, and now you're a son.
Am I not? Yeah. Am I not?
Next time I see you, you're going to be wearing green, red, green and red.
Face painted.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I did have some tacos yesterday, so, I mean, the
All right, let's go to break.
All right, so
you need some time to recoup.
What have we seen? Like, what have you seen last year? Really, you can only – I don't know that you can draw back to more than last year unless you're saying Stroud was good his rookie year. I think he was good at times last year. Like, I don't act like he
wasn't. Yeah, the San Francisco game, the Baltimore game. But, again, it's a lot of beat-up defenses.
What have we seen about this offense structurally that says they're a top 10 offense?
I mean, I think Nico Collins is a top 10 wide receiver.
Yep.
Maybe top 5, top 6. He's in that kind of range.
So that's about it?
Yeah, like David Montgomery's not top, you know, 10 type running back. The offensive line, even though I think they've improved, is not one I would expect to be a top 10 offensive line. CJ certainly has not played like a top 10 quarterback, and I wouldn't put Nick Haley in the top 10 of offensive coordinators. So you're asking, I think 7 is a very lofty expectation. Like, if I were to say, would you take this over the unknown, I think I would put it, like, if they could just be, like, 16th, I would take that sight unseen over the unknown. I think that's good enough to get to a Super Bowl. If they could be just, like, dead center average at 16th best offense.
What were they last year?
I'd have to look it up.
So they were kind of like,
I would guess bottom 10.
No, you know what? You know what?
This information's out there. We can find it.
It's, yeah, but
if
it's
we
actually,
so choose.
So I think it's like somewhere in the middle. But I also think that it's.
Are you talking about points or yards?
Points.
Points.
I don't care about yards.
I hear you, but at the same time, like.
Just score.
The defense swarms and gives you the ball at the 5-yard line. Are we giving the offense the full credit for those points?
That's a fair point.
That's why I kind of look at yards sometimes.
Well, when you're so bad
to move the ball,
when you're so bad in the red zone, you know, I think you need to get credit when you actually achieve your goal.
That's fair. So we're grading on a curve.
Yeah, definitely that. But like to be honest, the Texans' offense is one of those things where if you look at the rankings, it doesn't tell the whole story. Because they had such outliers like the Ravens
Baltimore game.
The Ravens, the Titans.
But even remember that first Titans game? You remember what the score was going into the fourth
quarter? Yeah, they
were
losing, weren't they?
No, they were winning, but it was 6-0.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then they just had an explosion, which I believe included a defensive score. But they had a few – same thing in the – remember the playoff game against Pittsburgh? That was I think it was 6-3 going into the fourth quarter. Then they got 2 defensive touchdowns,
right.
And it looks like a blowout.
So you're closer to
your point. Like the score doesn't necessarily tell that full story.
Right. So if you look at the rankings, even if they're in the middle, like it's not. There are no one that watched the Texans week in week out says that was a middle of the pack offense.
Right.
There were outliers, and I know it's not the way that works. Like you got to remove those games, but if you want to be intellectually honest and find like a true bearing of what this offense is, then you have to remove the Ravens game because that's not what this offense is. So to throw those numbers into their rankings is completely disingenuous to actually finding out what kind this offense is. So they're scoring. Let's just, like if they score 25 points a game, I'll be happy with that. But this offense is either going to be on an optimistic side, it's going to inevitably be automatically better. Because Nick Haley is back for a second year, and because they got better on the offensive line, presumably on paper, they got better. Therefore, they're just going to be better inevitably because of that.
Can you say that, though, given what we went through with Bobby Slowick?
No, not necessarily. But I'm just saying on the optimistic side, if you want to play.
Okay. If you're like, playing the optimistic.
If you say the optimistic side, that's why they'll be better, because inevitably – they're going to be better because the offensive line is better. It's a second year. Like, okay. On the other side, if you want to play the pessimistic side, it's like, well, they couldn't figure out how the pre-snap offense works for 20 weeks. They're still working on it now.
In year 4 of D'Amico and CJ.
Right, but also year 2 of Nick Haley. Then what says they're going to figure it out now if they never have?
Yeah, so that is definitely part of the pessimistic side.
Like, you can go either way, and I can say, like, if we were in debate class in high school or something, and you said, this is your side of the argument, this is your side of the argument, I could make great arguments on both sides as to why
Which side do you think you can make more arguments on? Because I think that is kind of the answer of how we really feel. Because I feel like I can make more pessimistic arguments.
It depends. So if you're
like Wyatt Teller, maybe he's a little too old. Why did Cleveland let him go, right? CJ with the turnovers and regressing two straight years. Nick Haley, like, why is he automatically going to take a year two jump when we didn't like him in year one? Like, I feel like there's more, at least for me, more pessimistic reasons than optimistic reasons.
Golly.
I mean, obviously, can't forget Tank Dell and, like his injury history.
Right, if he returns, though. That's
and
positive.
That Jalen Noel got outsnapped by a fullback in a lot of games last year.
Or Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's not even on a team anymore and was never even
No, and he got dumped by his girlfriend.
Ugh, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So, like, if you asked me this question before minicamp, I would have said I could make more arguments that they'll be just better offensively because they got better up front. Nick Haley's got an extra year. But now that we're in minicamp and we're in this phase of learning how bad it was last year and it actually never really improved and still may not have improved today, I almost feel like the pessimistic side is better. But I also do think that CJ is going to be the best version of CJ.
Okay.
If I think in a bottle, like in a vacuum. If Nick Haley, see, here's the problem with football. It is so hard to say that one player is the reason for success or one player is the reason for loss, when in reality it just never is that way in football.
Yeah, you have 22 starters.
So, like, I think that, and I know John and Lance are having this conversation, I believe, this morning, is that C.J. Stroud is the most locked in he's ever been, which suggests that he wasn't locked in before, which I think is, like, kind of reasonable in regards to the evolution of one's career and life and maturity, is that C.J. came in. Like, these athletes at the highest level, it comes very, very easy to them in high school. And then a select few, it comes very, very easy to them in college. I remember talking to Nico Collins about this a couple years ago, is that he learned that at the NFL level, it doesn't come to you easy. He now has to take care of
his
body
more. Were, yeah, not anything.
Right, and again, to my point earlier, like, okay, who was his quarterback? Who was his OC?
No,
like,
that's not a criticism of Nico. It's just
a
statement
but
of
it's
fact,
to the point of, like, it's not all on Nico, but he admitted to me that if he wanted to be the best him, regardless of what was around him, he needed to study more. He needed to take care of his body more. He needed to show up and practice harder, watch film more. He needed to do more of the things he never, ever had to do.
Perfect case, Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
It was easy.
Yeah.
In high school. It was easy in college.
Which is crazy, right?
And then he didn't study in the NFL and it caught up to him.
Yes.
So, same thing with Vince Young.
I think C.J. Stroud, it has always kind of been easy to him. He hasn't had to do the most. Not to say he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I've never got the impression that he's not a hard worker.
No.
I know you're not saying that,
right,
but I've never gotten that impression.
But I think he realized he needs to do even more at the NFL level. For instance, I think it came very easy his rookie year, and he was like, oh, this is just like the rest of the stops I've made. I've got this. Not to say that he was entirely there, but you do look at his world tour of podcasts, ranking himself in the top five.
He did put himself as the third best quarterback in the league after that season.
Which, cool. But also, better back it up because the top three stayed top three. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah,
he hasn't done that. So now he's more locked in than ever. You know, whether or not the haircut's got anything to do with that or being in the building more, like, certainly has something to do with that. Like, and the desire to not do the podcast, it certainly has something to do with that.
It does seem on the outside that he's taking it more serious.
Right. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like,
worth.
We all kind of live and learn of, like, if I have a bad show, like, all right, I got to do more prep. If I have a bad whatever, X, Y, Z, I got to do a little bit better. Does that mean I wasn't trying before? No, it just means I'm learning how to do better and where I need to be better to get better. And that's where I think C.J. Stroud is right now, that he's learning, like, hey, it wasn't as easy as it may have seemed my rookie year. It's not as – you're never as bad as your bad and high as your highs as well. But I think he is more locked in. So I think we're going to see the best version of CJ that we've seen in the NFL. Caveat, it also depends if that's even possible under Nick Haley. I don't know. Like,
yeah, see, I hear what you're saying, and you have a lot of evidence on the side that he'd be motivated to put in that work to be the best version of himself. I'm just not completely convinced for really either offense that they run under him that it's the best offense for him. Like, I thought
well,
CJ,
again, I agree.
I think CJ, if you injected it with truth serum, and really just from what we've seen in his career, both college and pro, that he is best suited for more of a widespread out, spread type offense, right? Less 21 personnel, not two tight ends, not heavy run sets, right? But look at the Texans' actions. They drafted and signed three run-blocking offensive linemen. They went and traded for David Montgomery. Like, they obviously, with D'Amico Ryans, the defensive mind, want to be a heavy formation running type team. I don't think that's CJ's best fit. So I have a hard time saying we're going to see the best version of CJ Stroud when the offense doesn't feel like it's being catered towards him. It feels like it's being catered to being a physical, tough running team.
Well, it's definitely not being catered towards him. However, I think that if you're not being asked to do a lot, you can still be the, maybe not the best you, but you can still be good because you don't have to do a lot.
And maybe this
the issue isn't, I don't think that it's a run first team, defensive led team. I think the issue is that when the pass plays are called, if you will, is that the scheme is horse crap. Like the tight splits at the line of scrimmage, the tight routes, like the lack of deep routes. Like, I just think that when you are putting the ball in his hands schematically, it's not good. It's not for his fit. I don't know that it's for really anyone's fit outside of maybe a select few.
I think if it's Nico.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nico has no problem producing. Like, that 20-yard, you know, in route, he kills.
Yeah, there's certain things that Nico will just be good at. Nico can be good at almost everything because Nico's very good.
He was good year one when he was running a lot of deep posts.
Right. So he can kind of do – he's that guy that can do everything.
Yeah.
Nico can do anything because he's really good. It's a matter of, like, is – again, like, Xavier Hutchinson, is that what we want on the tight split crossing post route with Jalen Knoll? Like, I don't think so.
The answer to improving the offense, it will not be Xavier Hutchinson.
And it's not going to be – not – man, you and I, we've watched a lot of football. We know when a good offense is a good offense, and we know kind of who to look at as to why it's a good offense. And I'll explain exactly what I mean, and the examples of that are on the other side of this. We're about to hit 2:30, so we're going to take a break here as we're live here on ESPN Radio at the Rodeo Goat live in Edo. Come on down here for the World Cup games. 2026 World Cup is officially underway with Republic of South Africa and Mexico. Mexico's up 1-0. This place went bonkers on that goal, and I got over 1.5 goals for Mexico in this match. So halfway there. Thank you. Come on down. Get a dad bod. Get a FIFA-inspired cocktail. Win World Cup tickets. They are doing a kind of a soccer skee-ball-inspired game. Come on down. You can win tickets to the Netherlands-Sweden match here in Houston on June 20th. Will Kunkel filling over or talking over Rich Eisen here, kicking it with Kunkel. Give me a follow on Instagram, TikTok, X, and YouTube, my show, Kicking It with Kunkel. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Rodeo Goat in Edo.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Will Kunkel.
Will Kunkel has no idea what's going on right now. Welcome inside, Kunkel.
It's a crazy atmosphere right now.
I just need one more goal in this game by Mexico to hit my bet.
Yeah.
So before the break.
You feeling good?
Yeah, I feel great. It's 1-0, but I'm still perplexed by this. So
before, by your tease or trying to remember what it was?
You don't remember what it was.
I don't.
Sean Mapes doesn't remember what it was. I don't remember what it was.
He went back and listened to the tape and found it.
And he told me that I said, I'll tell you what you need to know or what you'll see that makes you think this will be a good offense,
yes.
Which I don't remember even saying or what I would say in that instance. Like, if that was it, I can't even think about what
you don't have
my reasoning would be.
You don't have the opinion ready to go,
right. I don't even know. Like,
what? Do you want me to play it back?
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, my God. I'm an idiot. But so are you guys. Man, you and I, we've watched a lot of football. We know when a good offense is a good offense, and we know kind of who to look at as to why it's a good offense. And I'll explain exactly what I mean, and the examples of that are on the other side of this. We're about to hit 2:30, so we're going to take
a
break.
Okay,
I got it.
You got it now?
Yeah. Okay. That was a really good tease.
Go.
Nice job, Will.
So great you Completely forgot it.
God, could you be like?
Three minutes later.
I looked at you about 30 seconds after we went to break. I said, what did I just tease? And you're like, I don't know. And then Mace said, I don't know. And I go, well, I don't either. I can't remember either. And then, not only that, Mates told me what I said. I still couldn't get there. Now I got it. Okay.
But it was a dynamic tease.
Holy smokes.
It was provocative.
This is Kicking It with Kunkel on ESPN Radio. We're live in Edo at the Rodeo Goat where I just had a burger. It was fantastic. Brian's about to get a cocktail.
Hell yeah.
Michelob Ultra is sponsoring a soccer ski ball contest where you can win two tickets to the Netherlands Sweden game on June 20th here in Houston. So come on down, hang out. Watch Mexico hopefully score at least one more goal against South Africa. And then after that, I don't really give a damn who wins or anything. Yes. Viva Mexico! I just need one more. Yeah, that was a lit moment. That was sweet. Okay. So this is
your
what
new
I'm,
claimed heritage.
Yes. Am I not Mexican if you bet the over?
I'm not endorsing that, but you certainly have claimed so.
No, I'm certainly not endorsing myself. I approve this message. Okay, so this...
Yeah, so pay off on this tease.
Did we order more cheese fries?
I don't remember if we did or not.
Did you order cheese
fries? I did not order the...
We already had one plate.
I didn't know... Did you order it? Or maybe it was the promotions table. I'm not saying they can't set it down. I just don't remember ordering it. But I also didn't remember your tease. So maybe we did. I don't know.
I didn't remember my tease.
It was an amazing tease, though.
So, this is... When you watch... The 49, you know, just the when you watch the Bears, the 49ers, the Rams, you know exact like Jimmy Garoppolo had success with the 49ers.
Right, right. Hell, they turned Mr. Irrelevant into a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
And when you watch the off, I remember, so when I was in Carolina years ago covering the Panthers, one of my analysts on the pregame show was Roman Harper. And Roman and I would text all the time. Like, I'd be on the road after the Panthers game, and then primetime game would always be, like, the 49ers or the Rams or whoever. Or Trey Boston, who also played for the Panthers back in the day. We would be on, like, a text thread. And because we were watching this Panthers offense just be terrible year in and year out, and there was no design with Joe Brady. There was no like, nothing. And it's the same way that I feel with the Texans now. And then I'd come home after covering the Panthers game, and I'd be in my hotel room watching Sunday Night Football. And be like, this offense right now is like, it's a different sport. Like, I'm watching the 49ers guys run all over the field.
People
creating
get wide
space,
open. Yeah.
Wide open. I do it with the Rams. You do it with the Bears now. Like, these good offenses, you see it, and you're like, that's a good offense.
Yeah.
And then you could sit there and be like, put C.J. Stroud in that offense. He'll be great. He'll be great. He would be so good with Kyle Shanahan. Like, he's the ability to have Trent Williams block for him, drop back. Like, that's not happening with the Texans. I don't watch the Texans game and be like, guys are wide open. Guys are running around. They're wide open. I never say that. I never say that.
So you're putting that blame on the OC?
Shoot, yeah.
Because, I'm not saying you're wrong on that. And like we talked about earlier.
Because
I think
the design is flawed.
You're right. And I think there's a pie chart of blame here. Because other than Nico, I'll go back to it, something that we talked about a couple times now. What, like, is Hutch getting wide open? Is Dalton Schultz burning by guys? Like, I don't disagree that they've had poor play design with Nick Haley. And you could argue at least the second year of Bobby Slowick as well. But they also don't have a lot of guys to separate, other than Nico Collins.
Because they're in tight splits, not running routes that get them open.
Like, yeah, I guess this is a tomato.
Like, there's no pre-snap motion that makes the defense think.
You just hit on something that drove me. Remember the quote that Nick Haley had last year? Because people were questioning him. I don't know if it was you that asked the question or not, but people were questioning, like, why don't you guys use more pre-snap motion? Because if you look at pre-snap motion rate, it's very highly correlated to team success, offense success, points scored,
which I don't understand.
But when
I understand why. I don't understand why you don't use it.
Well, that's because someone asked Nick Haley about that, and he called it I'm paraphrasing here, but he described pre-snap motion as a game-by-game decision, not a fundamental part of the offense, which kind of made me out on Nick Haley right at that moment. Like, if you're so far behind modern offensive football that you view pre-snap motion as a game-specific plan, not a fundamental part of the offense, then I'm done with you as the OC.
And you know why it's important in particular? Because you can see what the defense is running a little bit when you do that.
Man or zone.
It just simply makes them think.
You can also dictate matchups.
Yeah,
maybe the corner. If you know the corners don't travel, then you can get guys. How often do you sometimes? I think it was in the Lions game a couple years ago, where they won the game on Amon-Ra getting matched up against one of the Texans linebackers.
Yeah,
guess we'll get you that motion.
And that happened to the Texans last year. It was a double emergency backup linebacker that was matched up. I can't remember the game in the red zone that gave up a touchdown. And you're sitting like, why the hell is that guy guarding their best player? I can't remember exactly who it was.
Dylan Horton?
No, it was a linebacker that just never really played, and he played that game for whatever reason. Was Aziz hurt last year for a game or two, or maybe when Jalen was out?
I'm drawing a blank.
It's a moot point.
Yeah.
The point is, you use motion to, one, see what the defense is running, a zone or a man.
Right.
It can give them away. It also just makes their eyes go left to right, look around, and lose kind of what their key is.
Spread out, like if you want to run.
And it makes them think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes – the goal on offense is to confuse a defense.
Harder to jam the wide receiver if he's on the move.
Yeah.
There's so many things you can do with it.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And so I never watched the Texans' offense. I'm like, man, these guys are being put in position. They're open, but CJ's missing throws. So when you say there's a lot of blame to go around, I don't disagree. But if you're going to stack them like a totem pole of the issues, CJ's like three. Not to say that's not pretty high.
All right.
But like
one is
Nick
Kaylee.
Like it's not a good offense. The game plan is not good. The play calling isn't good. He admitted last year, which I credit, and I understand it's actually possible, and I don't like jump on him for it, but it seemed to happen a lot. He said why Jalen Knoll or Nico wasn't involved as much in certain games. It was like, I can't – sometimes I get away from it and I forget to, like, get to that guy or whatever, you know. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing clearly. Like, you can't do that. You're an OC on a team trying to win a Super Bowl at the NFL level. Like, you got to remember Nico Collins is on your team and you got to get him the damn ball and you got to scheme that to be possible. That happened far too much, and that can't continue to happen.
I do – I guess I think we fundamentally disagree about the overall level of talent of the people around Nico, but I also think that's a part of if you don't have – and last year, you know, 2 years ago they lose Diggs and Tank halfway through the year. Last year they don't have Tank at all. So maybe that is fixed with a healthy Tank and Higgins and Knoll stepping up in year two. But I also think that's partly the blame to if you don't have that extra talent around your number one wide receiver, that wide receiver can be taken out by scheme. Whereas if you have more talent around him, then you have to respect and dictate coverage.
But you also allow it. Like, you can scheme guys open. Everyone knows that the good guys are getting open. And guess what? The good guys are still good.
Yeah, it's fair because, I mean, and this is, I love the Kubiak offense.
Because then you could say, like, the good wide receivers aren't worthy in fantasy because everyone wants to take them away. But the good guys are good in fantasy because you can't take them away.
Because you can't take them away, yeah.
And that's Nico, but you didn't do that.
Nico is, but you need more. You need more. That's my point.
Not only that, but you got to, like, it's just so frustrating.
But to your point, going back to earlier times in Texans history, right? Who was the number two behind Andre Johnson most of the times? Like Kevin Walter? These aren't world beaters. And Andre was still able to have multiple 1,500-yard seasons, multiple seasons with well over 100 catches, right? It's because the scheme, Kubiak, more than any OC I can remember from that time forward, was a master at whoever his number one wide receiver was. He was a master at designing ways to get that guy wide open, even if everyone on the defense, all 11 guys in the coaching staff, knew exactly where the Texans wanted to go with the football. Nick Kaylee is not that. To agree with your point.
And that's why I'm more pessimistic about the offense. And I want – there's optimistic pieces and there's parts. I just think that the foundation of your home is so severely cracked – that I'm not living there. Like, I'm not picking it to be a top seven offense or a top 10 offense.
I'm not saying
it's not possible. I'm not saying things can't break your way. or that you learn and figure it out. I'm not saying it's not possible, but what I'm saying is I'm not putting money on it.
No. Not like you would with Mexico over 1.5 goals.
Well, yeah, but, like, I'm Mexican now. So, like, it's a bit of a, you know, it's,
Joe, that's the first time Joe's hearing this. Will now claims Mexican heritage because he placed a bet on Mexico over 1.5 goals.
Is that not Mexican? Is that not make me Mexican?
He's El Grande Americano
if
now.
You,
what's that?
If,
no, we're not on break. Okay.
If you tell me I'm not Mexican because of that, racist. You're racist.
The thoughts
you
and opinions being expressed right now are Will Kunkel,
you can't,
and not ESPN 97.5.
You can't tell me how I identify. I identify
that, well,
it
is
as Mexican.
26. You're right.
What
you're
are you
right.
going to do about it?
I'm not going to do anything.
At 1.5 goals, I identify as Mexican.
Now, what if they don't score another goal? Will you renounce your heritage?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I will self-deport back
okay.
to American right. heritage.
Oh, nearly another goal.
Outrageous. That looks like Andre Johnson, that goalie.
Oh, yeah?
His hair, a little lighter, but.
Oh, man, that was a great.
His jawline.
That was a great. Look at that. Oh. He got nothing on it.
Ooh.
He got nothing on it. That would have been a weird-looking goal, but.
We got plenty of time to get one more, boys.
Yeah, I mean, but you got that first one like 5 minutes in.
I know, right?
Now we're 30
like
plus.
5-0,
yeah,
right?
I know. Yeah,
point.
Yeah. Oh, and pace at that point was great.
Are you excited for the World Cup, or are you excited for just Team USA? Or are you? That's off the post.
Oh, Will.
That was a
you're
doink.
Almost there.
That was a doink.
Yeah.
My ancestors, ancestors are turning in their graves.
I would call it a double doink, but Joe could hear me, and that would trigger him.
Oh, man. Double doink?
Woo. Double doink would trigger Joe. I won't say those
heavens,
words.
No. Are you excited for the World Cup? Or are you excited for Team USA, or are you excited for neither, both, what?
Yeah, I'm not really a huge soccer fan. I do think having worked with Glenn Davis now for the last year and a half, I will definitely watch more than I did in previous World Cups. Also, having the 7 games here also helps that excitement. But my excitement level isn't huge, but it is more so than previous World Cups.
I think that
like previous World Cups, it was like a 1, and now it's like a 4.
Probably, you mean you live in Houston, we're hosting.
Yeah, 7 games, yeah.
Being at an event like this at
including,
Goat Rodeo.
Including Sweden versus Denmark, right?
Rodeo Goat. Yes. Netherlands.
Look at that lead-in to
you
the
can't
sponsors.
Say Denmark. It's Netherlands.
Oh, my bad.
They're not the same.
Denmark, Netherlands.
Different.
To an American.
That's like saying to a Mexican
American.
Like
oh,
myself
God.
That
Here
it's the same as Colombia. It's not the same.
I would not say that.
Well,
No.
You would just say Netherlands is the Dutch.
Yeah, no, same thing.
Or Denmark.
Ignorant American, same thing.
Such as yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Golly, dude. I had no idea that you had that type of heart. That's just, I
get so cold and callous.
Speak for all of us.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez, come on,
Sean Mapes is definitely very disappointed in me.
Yeah, I'm not so excited for the World
dumb,
Cup.
Ignorant American.
I'm excited for Team USA, and I'm excited, you know, honestly, I'm excited for atmospheres like this.
So
I love this.
Are you saying outside of Team USA games, you'll probably pass?
Not unless it's my Mexicans.
Okay. So Mexico and USA, you'll
right,
watch.
Right.
But when they're all eliminated after the first knockout game.
Be devastating for the family.
Yeah.
My family will be sad.
I would say you could root for Italy, but they didn't even make it.
Oh, you're right. Did they not?
Three World Cups in a row they missed.
That's kind of crazy.
Isn't it? Yeah, they've won multiple. I don't know how many World Cups they've won, but I know it's multiple.
I got to give my father-in-law a lot of grief and then act like USA made it because we're really good.
Yeah.
When in reality, we make it no matter what because we're hosting.
Yeah. They were going to be in regardless.
Yeah, but that's not the way I would act.
Do you like that rule?
Yes. Like, you can't have the host country not be relevant. You have to have them involved.
But if they... Not that this is the case with America, but if you know they suck and they're going to get eliminated, and
I still think you have to because you're not going to host, like you're not going to take it on really if your country can't even.
Yeah,
like,
you will. You'll make money.
Benefit.
I mean, that's the idea at least.
But you can make, I don't know, for argument's sakes, 1,000% more money if your country is involved. And so the idea is, not leaving money on the table.
You're
and let's
right.
not act like FIBA's not corrupt. Like
no.
we're going to make this all about. You know, who's the good team? It's all about money anyway.
Yeah, of course. They had a World Cup in Qatar. It's all about the money.
Jeez. Oh, man.
You're living and dying with every kick here, Will.
My ancestors, for what we did for that country, you would too.
Latino Kunkel.
You, I'm trying to think of how you would spell Kunkel.
I don't know.
Kunkelino is the obviously
Italian
version.
I'm not going to make the attempt.
Kunkelez, like E-Z at the end? That's all you got to do,
right? I don't know.
Kunkez, K-U-N-K-E-Z.
I'll let you take those stabs.
So I think we flushed out our feelings over the course of almost 2.5 hours
about
on this topic.
3-4 minutes left. Should we briefly mention the NBA Finals?
Oh, that's right.
We haven't talked about
it at all. We did tease this, and I think the Knicks are one of those teams for some people is that they might hate the Knicks because they're New York, especially being down here.
Oh,
in Houston.
We never got to this. Yeah.
Is that what teams do you think are great for a sport that you admittedly hate but also can recognize they're great for the sport? And I think – you know,
all
Yankees,
the LA teams.
Knicks, Dodgers.
Dodgers, Lakers.
Right. It's teams that that are really good that you kind of hate. You know, Ohio State, Michigan, whoever.
Yeah, I would say college football is probably Alabama, Ohio State. I don't hate Michigan. I don't really care either way. But Ohio State and Alabama, yeah, for sure.
Do you have a problem with Taylor Swift being at the game?
No, I don't care.
Exactly. I'm the same way, dude. And I'm not – I don't like Taylor Swift's music. I don't listen to Taylor Swift. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan.
Why would anyone have a problem with it?
Thank you. Like, you're telling
me. Something you saw.
She's not a New York. She's not a Knicks fan. She's like, diehard Knicks fans. It's like, bro, that's not a sporting event. That is an event.
Yeah.
And, like, she has the ability.
It's the first NBA Finals in New York since 1999.
Bro, if I had the ability to be their Knicks fan or not, my ass is there, especially sit with Mrs. Law and Order as well. I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
she ran over and tackled OG Anunoby.
They were embracing.
I know.
That was one of the funniest. Like, it kind of shows. It's really weird because New York City is obviously the largest city in the country and it's massive. But to have that type of relationship with a fan, even though she's very famous, is very unique for a city like New York because it's just. You don't have that college, like, relationship with fan to
so
player.
So much to do, right?
Right. Like, you have that with, like, the Cougs because it's very small fan base.
Yeah.
It's very involved
in
intimate.
You have that in college town.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have that in New York. You have it here a little bit, like.
Maybe with the Cougs. I wouldn't say with the other.
Right. You certainly don't have it with the Texans.
No.
You certainly, because you don't have that.
I think the Golden Era Astros maybe had some of that.
You know, the cool, like, I made
like
a video
Altuve.
About this was. The outpouring love and support from fans to Tank Dell, I think, has been really, really small town college, really cool that you don't see in big cities. And so to see it happen the way it did last night at Madison Square Garden was like, that's
dude,
never the case.
Who do you put the blame on last night's collapse on?
But I think
I mean,
it's always
the Bucks doing.
Yeah, but it's like you had already blown the lead.
He'd already
point.
Blown a massive lead.
So
I'd also say Harper's got to block out.
Yeah, Harper's got a block out. No one blocked out OG.
OG came from, 5 feet beyond the three-point line? And no one put a body on him.
But then, like, Josh Hart didn't block. Like, it's again, a boring answer, but it's the Knicks made plays. The Spurs didn't. It's both, and both equal. Like, no one's winning. That lead isn't blown if the Knicks don't make plays. That lead is not blown if the Spurs don't screw it all up.
Way better in the second half.
It's two ships passing in the night in the regards to, like, getting
crashing
closer.
Into each other. You know what gets lost in last night's amazing play by OG? That was a terrible shot choice by Jalen Brunson.
So it's a,
there were still 4 seconds left on the clock.
Well, when do you want to shoot it, though? Because you want to leave enough time that you do have time for the tip.
Sure.
Or if they get the rebound, you can foul and you're still alive.
But
so you really got to get it up quick.
I understand that. But he had two on him, and he's, 6-7 feet beyond the three-point line?
I think the
with four seconds was, left of the clock, you can at least take another dribble and try to – I don't know.
Wemby was on him. So, like, you go a step in, that ball's getting blocked.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think he was told, you get the ball as soon as you get a look, shoot it, because then we will crash.
Because he's Jalen Brunson and he
always
makes that shot.
Not even that. It's like, get the ball on the rim.
Right.
And we'll crash.
Because you're being doubled, we will have the advantage
right.
on the board.
Just get the
maybe.
Ball on the rim.
That might be it.
We'll
yeah.
rebound. And if not, since you shot it so early, we'll have time to foul and extend the game.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking because there was no action. Like, there was no screen coming. There was no cutting. There was no nothing.
I just didn't like the shot that he took. But I get your point.
So I hate that shot when you take it as the last shot of the game.
Yeah.
I hate it because then you don't give yourself a chance for anything. So I hate it when you shoot that shot with 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
I don't hate it as much when you shoot it with 4 seconds left, because exactly what happened is
possible. You have a chance at it, right.
Right, so I think it's more about the situational awareness, which I think is very good. And it just happened to work out in their favor, you know?
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for Kicking It with Kunkel. Will Kunkel talking over Rich Eisen as we are live at the Rodeo Goat today. And Joe George and Brian LaLima are up next. No. Who?
Josh Beard.
Josh
no, Beard.
I don't know if I know him.
Former host here at the station.
Oh, okay. Is he here?
I don't have eyes on him.
Well, because the show starts in 3 minutes. Is he going to get cut?
I don't know. I think he's walking in right
Does
now.
Does he get fined?
I thought I saw him. No, he won't get fined. He's not an employee of ours.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I was 45 minutes early. I'm not saying that's the standard, and that's. I'm just
you
saying.
You set the bar.
I was
you
here.
Set the bar for.
I was prepping. I was moving tables. I was setting up. I don't know.
No one's going to outwork.
I don't know who
Kunkel.
This guy is. Yeah. First one in, last one out. That's just how I roll.
I mean, I'll be last one out. Today.
Yeah, you will be.
Yeah.
You going to get a burger?
Yeah. I forget which one I'm going to get. I don't know if I'll go Dad Bod. There was another one that looks. There was a whiskey inspired one that looked pretty good.
No, that was the drink.
No, but there was a whiskey inspired burger.
You're
going
to get a burger and a drink whiskey. You're going to be hammered after when you leave here.
If all goes well, brother.
God willing.
God willing.
I appreciate you guys at all.
Hammered drunk.
That chimed in and listened in and texted and called in. This is Kicking It with Kunkel on ESPN Radio live at the Rodeo Goat in Edo. Come on down here. Try to win 2 tickets. It started about an hour ago. The competition did. You can win 2 tickets to Netherlands, Sweden. But the competition also rolls on for at least another hour, if not 90 minutes. Joe George and his partner coming up next here on ESPN Radio. Peace, y'all. Be back tomorrow at noon as well.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.